Chapter 123. On board the Goya, Rachel felt lightheaded. The mystification that had settled around her like a heavy fog was lifting now. The stark reality that came into focus left her feeling naked and disgusted. She looked at the stranger before her and could barely hear his voice. "We needed to rebuild NASA's image," Pickering was saying. "Their declining popularity and funding had become dangerous on so many levels." Pickering paused, his gray eyes locking on hers. "Rachel, NASA was desperate for a triumph. Someone had to make it happen." Something had to be done, Pickering thought. The meteorite had been a final act of desperation. Pickering and others had tried to save NASA by lobbying to incorporate the space agency into the intelligence community where it would enjoy increased funding and better security. But the White House continuously rebuffed the idea as an assault on pure science. Short-sighted idealism. With the rising popularity of Sexton's anti-NASA rhetoric, Pickering and his band of military power brokers knew time was running short. They decided that capturing the imagination of taxpayers and Congress was the only remaining way to salvage NASA's image and save it from the auction block. If the space agency was to survive, it would need an infusion of grandeur, something to remind the taxpayers of NASA's Apollo glory days. And if Zach Herney was going to defeat Senator Sexton, he was going to need help. "I tried to help him," Pickering told himself, recalling all the damaging evidence he had sent to Marjorie Tench. Unfortunately, Herney had forbidden its use, leaving Pickering no choice but to take drastic measures. "Rachel," Pickering said, "the information you just faxed off this ship is dangerous. You must understand that. If it gets out, the White House and NASA will look complicit. The backlash against the president and NASA will be enormous. The president and NASA know nothing, Rachel. They are innocent. They believe the meteorite is authentic." Pickering hadn't even tried to bring Herney or Ekstrom into the fold, because both were far too idealistic to have agreed to any deceit, regardless of its potential to save the presidency or space agency. Administrator Ekstrom's only crime had been persuading the pod's mission supervisor to lie about the anomaly software, a move Ekstrom no doubt regretted the moment he realized how scrutinized this particular meteorite would become. Marjorie Tench, frustrated by Herney's insistence on fighting a clean campaign, conspired with Ekstrom on the pod's lie, hoping a small pod success might help the president fend off the rising Sexton tide. "If Tench had used the photos and bribery data I gave her, none of this would have happened." Tench's murder, though deeply regrettable, had been destined as soon as Rachel called Tench and made accusations of fraud. Pickering knew Tench would investigate ruthlessly until she got to the bottom of Rachel's motives for the outrageous claims, and this was one investigation Pickering obviously could never let happen. Ironically, Tench would serve her president best in death, her violent end helping cement a sympathy vote for the White House, as well as cast vague suspicions of foul play on a desperate Sexton campaign, which had been so publicly humiliated by Marjorie Tench on CNN. Rachel stood her ground, glaring at her boss. "Understand," Pickering said, "if news of this meteorite fraud gets out, you will destroy an innocent president and an innocent space agency. You will also put a very dangerous man in the Oval Office. I need to know where you faxed the data." As he spoke those words, a strange look came across Rachel's face. It was the pained expression of horror, of someone who had just realized they may have made a grave mistake.